Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 2, we were talking about people that listen to a preacher to try to find something that he says so they can criticize it. Let's continue with that discussion today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
I remember being in Christian college one day, and I was a marriage student by that time. I was a marriage student, and I'd actually dropped out of the first Christian college, a great Christian college, but I'd dropped out of it in order to get a job, earn money, and get married, and I did. And then eventually, after two children, we went back to college the hard way, you know, but we went back to a Christian college. I remember walking out of chapel in that Christian college that day, and I saw a group of boys, and a few of them I knew just by being in the same class as them, didn't know them in a personal way of, they're the ones that I have conversations with all the time. They're the ones I run around with. They're all my good buddies and all that. And it wasn't that kind of a thing. But they're saying, and man, they were saying things about the chapel speaker that had just spoken. I thought, wow, I didn't get that. I didn't get that. Man, I missed it. I missed it. Next day I came out and I looked over where they were, and they were there again. It's a different speaker, but they were there again. But for 4 or 5 days I came out there, they were finding these things, and man, I found myself sitting in chapel trying to listen to see if I could hear something, to have something to add to it, you know, something to criticize. And I got out there, and it's just like, I guess the Spirit of God showed me, hey, what you're doing is evil. And so kind of stopped it right there, and I stayed away from that group. And you know what? Kind of watched a few of those afterwards, and these guys that knew everything that was wrong with the chapel speakers. Now, what they had to say wasn't bad. It was good. They were on the Word of God. They were right down it. But I don't see that any of those guys ever ended up speaking in a chapel or anywhere else. You know, they may have been preachers. I don't know. But you know what? I've never heard their name. And I wonder how they feel if people listen to them to criticize, just to find criticism, instead of to find the truth of God's word by which they may be edified. Look, if you'll be in the Word of God on a daily basis, men or women, this is to the aged ladies, but nonetheless, be in the Word of God daily, meditate on it, think on it, and you'll know what's good and what is not good. You'll know what's acceptable and what is not acceptable unto God. Remember, Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Your bodies. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Your body is to be a holy, acceptable to God, and it's to be a living sacrifice. You know, a sacrifice is usually something that was killed and laid on an altar. A living sacrifice is not the ox that is killed, it's the ox that's pulling the plow for the farmer. Now, ladies, I'm not calling you an ox, I'm just using an illustration. But what I'm saying is this, is that if that is the idea of a living sacrifice, then God is the husbandman, and you're pulling the plow, so to speak, for him. So your body should be holy and acceptable unto him, and it's your reasonable service. It's, word service actually has the Greek root in it that has the idea of worship. You're actually worshiping God by the way you're living a Christ-like life. And so that's what it ought to be. So be that in spirit and in mind, and keep it in mind as we go through this, ladies. And listen, this is going to get young women, young men, servants. I mean, it's getting all of us, okay? It's even going to get preachers in it. So I want you to know the second chapter is looking at behavior as becometh holiness in all areas of people, all right? And so that's what we're to do. So these things are part of that behavior that becometh holiness. Now, a lot of people say, I'm a holy person because I don't do this and I don't do that. And I go to church and I do teach Sunday school. I sing in the choir, and I'm a holy person. But now he's telling us behavior that becometh holiness, and without going to an explanation at the moment. But look at verse 3. Again, likewise, the aged women, okay, the aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness. What's the first thing mentioned? Not false accusers. First church I pastored, there was a pretty young lady that came to church with a husband and his wife and kids, and she was a married lady, and her husband worked with the man they came with, but the husband worked out of town all week. It was kind of that kind of a deal. I think they were welders, and the one husband that she came with, that family, stayed in town. He was higher up the ladder, so he didn't have to travel all around the country. But her husband was out of town quite a bit. And so she visited, and so a friend of mine and I, one of my deacons went with me, and we visited the home. And in a short period of time, this lady was telling us, oh, Mr. So-and-so is so wonderful. He comes over here. He'd be over here 2 or 3 nights a week. Just he'll fix this and he'll fix that and fix this. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, her husband is a welder and he knows construction. He knows how to fix things. And he's coming over there 2 or 3 nights a week. And she's talking about, oh, how wonderful he is. And oh, what a good listener. Oh, what everything else. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. As I'm hoping my deacon doesn't think what I'm thinking. And so we get in the car, and guess what? He was. And so the Lord gives you something at times. And I said, yeah, I know what it looks like, but you know, she might be just thankful that he's doing those things, and she has nobody to do it, doesn't want to pay money to get to it since her husband could do it, but she thinks that she needed done right now. So I said, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. That was one time I was wrong as far as giving him the benefit of the doubt, because the guy was immoral. We didn't know it. We didn't know it. But it was still right to say not to accuse when you don't have facts. We didn't know if he's having any kind of relationship with a woman or not. Now, I found that he had a relationship with a couple other women as well. So that is something, but it wasn't right to do that. And see, that's what happens so often when you say behaviors becometh holiness. Don't be a false accuser, because even though that guy was into that, I would have been a false accuser if I didn't know it for a fact. That wasn't found out till later about his life. But until then, we didn't know. I would have been a false accuser that got a guess that happened to be right, and would have based on just the way that lady was talking, but there was no evidence there. So, false accusers, not given to much wine. And we'll expand on that when we get to that word. And teachers of good things. Now, having said that, those three things, false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, if those three things aren't active as an aged lady, you're not holy, even though you're doing these other good things. Okay, these are things that God gives to aged women to do. And so, when we don't, we're coming short of the glory of God, who is Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at that. Not false accusers. Again, that is an attack on holiness in your life if you become an accuser of others. Look, I'm a pastor, and anybody who's been a pastor as long as I have, and I've pastored my first church in 1978, March of 1978, I started as a pastor for the first time. I was ordained before that, and I preached before that. But when you become a pastor, you know, sometimes you can preach someplace and go, and you don't hear the gossip. You don't hear the false accusations. But when you are the pastor, you hear them, and they're about you. And they can get you angry. They can get you upset. They can get you mad. You can just say, Lord, it's in your hands. If you know that those accusations aren't true, God gives you a way of fighting that. You know, the Bible says it is written. It is written. I had one time in the church where a group of people were really attacking me, and I just said, okay, let's see what the Bible says on that issue. And I was covering that issue and just going down it. And I even had one of their groups say, you're just defending yourself. You're trying to use the Bible to defend yourself and your actions. And I asked them, well, listen, you can actually show me something here. What did I say that was doctrinally wrong? Can you show me something that was doctrinally wrong in what I preached? And now really show it to me why what is doctrinally wrong and why it's wrong. Well, no, but you shouldn't have preached it. So wait a minute. But God gives me to preach. Remember Jesus, he said, it is written, it is written, it is written, when the Pharisees were doing the same thing to him. We see some of the apostles would do the same thing. It is written. It is written. And so be able to say it is written. Know why? A busybody, when they get caught by the word of God, just like Lord, you know, when the devil tried to tempt him in the wilderness, he said, it is written. And, you know, each temptation, each trial, each thing the devil tried to do was rebuked with, it is written. That is the battle that's going on, and the weapon that God has given us is his sword, the word of God. And so, the Bible warns against being a busybody in other men's matters. As a matter of fact, if you read the verse where that appears, it also has the word murder in there. In other words, being a busybody in other men's matters is right on the same level as busybodies. Think of that. I hear things that I hope do not come into the public forum, because it will not embarrass me. Rather, it will make the ones who is doing the gossip to appear to be just that, and also seem to be very ignorant because their information is so wrong. I've had them say, this is what you were doing. I said, what? Well, how did I do that? Well, see, they couldn't come up with anything. But yet, the accusation, I guess, was fun. I don't know. But any preacher can tell you that story. Ours is not to get angry and respond in the flesh. Ours is to use the word of God and stand on the truth. And if there is something wrong, then we admit it. Facebook, by the way, is not the authority that will prove whether something is right or wrong.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
It's truth. We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my